I'm on your list. I know a bit about you, but just for the viewers who may have not heard of you or even have or may not know that much about your background and stuff like that. Could you just give a bit about your background, how you started online, and why you and what you were doing beforehand, and what the reason you sort of transitioned to building an online business?
Absolutely. For those of you guys who don't know me, as is already said, my name is Devon Brown. I've had, like many of you guys out there, I'm sure, an entrepreneurial spirit for quite some time. Back when I was 14, I used to, try to concoct ways of making money, with one of my buddies, and we used to, kind of try to come up with little, get rich quick schemes and be like, oh my gosh, we're going to be millionaires by the time we're 16. Didn't quite work out that way, but back in college, actually, just as I was finishing up college, or in the UK, I guess you guys say university.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, but we have college as well. College, then university.
Okay, yeah. So this is more university. So as I'm finishing up university, I would see a lot of those late night infomercials where they would promise abundant riches, by really, really easily. And so this really excited guy would get on the infomercial and say, you can make $10,000 a day by, just placing tiny classified ads in newspapers or something like that, right? And I would get excited and I'd be like, oh, that makes a lot more sense than going to work. It
Of
makes a lot
course.
more sense to place an ad in a newspaper and make $10,000 than it does to go to work. And so that's when I kind of got sold on the really, really sold and really started. This was back in 2000. 2001 is when I really got sold on the whole home business entrepreneur thing. And then I took real estate investing courses. And as you can see today, I'm not a real estate investor. I know nothing about it, but I spent a lot of money on that stuff. And then what I was doing beforehand was I was doing a combination of things. I was teaching taekwondo. I actually have a third degree black belt in taekwondo.
Oh, that's cool. I'm actually into martial arts. I do Wing Chun.
Actually, yeah, Kung Fu, awesome.
Yeah. So yeah,
Yeah.
it's, and I find it's very good for like discipline, just in all general well-being, and it helps me sort of be focused as well.
Absolutely. And not to mention the physical attributes
Of
as well.
course.
And so it's and I enjoy it. And I used to teach it. And now it doesn't pay a lot of money. But I was doing that. And then I was selling cars, which I will tell you, hindsight being 2020, is one of the best things I ever did. Honing your sales skills, understanding how the psychology of selling and human interaction is an invaluable skill set. And so that's what I was doing before I finally made it myself. But then in 2005, I ended up finding a mentor, and I ended up being his number one strategist. I would be on the phone one-on-one with all of his clients, talking to them,
Oh,
coaching
okay.
them, selling them. Yeah, that was my mentor. And so I got to work behind the scenes with an internet marketing millionaire for several years, and I actually got to see what he was doing, because from 2000 to 2005, I wasn't making any money in my home-based business. I had been
Okay.
trying. I filed for bankruptcy when I was in 2002, I think I filed for bankruptcy, because I'd spent like $40,000 trying to make money online, and it just wasn't working for me because for several different reasons, all my fault now that I know what I know. But in 2005, I met a mentor, got to work behind the scenes, saw the actions he was taking every day, saw how those were different than the actions I thought I was taking over the course of the 5 years,
How
and
did
then from,
you get
go
in?
ahead.
Sorry, how did you actually get in with a mentor? Because I know
I
that
am.
when, sorry.
No, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead.
I
I'm
was saying
sorry.
that I know that when I got in with somebody that was of quite of influence. Like I remember we worked for maybe 2.5 months with this guy, and didn't and we didn't get paid a penny for 2.5 months until we and then he just said he, then he realized that we was really about it, and we was just that was hungry and ready to make it happen, and he worked on a project with us. So I was just wondering was it a similar process for you, or he just liked you from the get-go, and it just all worked?
Actually, mine was I was answering an ad in a newspaper. He
Okay.
was looking for, now, by the way, for everybody listening, as far as the way that you did it, as far as adding value to somebody's life for 2.5 months and them ha and then having them say, okay, fine, now I'll show you. You are willing to do somewhat of like an internship for 2.5 months that was completely unpaid. You added so much value to that individual that you ended up being, he ended up having no choice but to
Yeah.
say, okay, you're really about it. I'm gonna, show you. I'm gonna teach you how to get
Exactly.
paid now. Or yeah, so
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Yeah.
That is what I would suggest everybody do, to be honest with you, if you have the ability to do that. I just happened to answer an ad in the newspaper. He was looking for somebody who could sell but who also knew the home business game. And I was like, what? That is me. This is, you're stupid if you don't hire me. And so I actually went to work for him.
Mm-hmm. So, oh, that's really good. That's really, really, really good stuff. So what happened next?
Well, then what happened was he knew from the – actually what happened was I was out in L.A. Mm-hmm. and at a Mark Victor Hansen event. Mark Victor Hansen, co-author of Chicken Soup for the Soul.
I remember that book. Amazing.
Yeah, big book. Yeah, him and Jack Canfield wrote that book. And so my mentor was supposed to go on stage in front of like 500, 600, 700 people, right, to pitch. He was going to do a breakout session on how to build, you know, make money online. And my mentor was out having lunch with somebody else. And so Mark Victor Hansen's assistant comes up to me and says, hey, are you with Matt? That's my mentor. His name was Matt. He says, hey, are you with Matt? And I'm like, yeah. And she says, yeah, are you with Matt? And I'm like, yeah. And then she says, well, where is he? He's got to go on stage to do his elevator pitch for his breakout session. Okay. And I said to this woman, I said, what the hell is an elevator pitch for a breakout session? And she says, look, just find him and get him on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And so I called him, and he was having lunch with somebody, and his phone was off. And I said, look, lady, I don't know what to tell you, but I can't get a hold of him. She's like, he is due on stage in 30 seconds, so you better get up there and do his elevator pitch.
I had a tingling feeling that was going to happen. Oh man, so, how did you feel?
Awesome.
At that moment.
I love attention, so I was nervous, but I was like, yes, I get to get on the stage because I love the stage. I'm like naturally attracted towards the stage and crowd.
Oh, that's crazy. I'd have been pooping myself.
And so what happened was, and my mentor is like, I'm a skinny black guy. My mentor is a heavy set white guy. So we look nothing alike. And so Mark Victor Hansen says, please welcome to the stage. And he says my mentor's name. And then my mentor's picture flashes up on the screen. And then Mark Victor Hansen turns to pass me the microphone, and he looks at me like a double take, like, who the hell are you? And I'm like, and I just grab the mic, and I do my thing, and I'm like, hey, everybody, yada, 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 and I just did my thing, and I got a standing – I was on stage for all of 2 minutes, and I got a standing ovation, and then like 20 minutes later, my mentor shows up, and then everybody's attacking him. He's like, who is this kid? What did you find him? What does he do for you? Yada, 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 and he was like, what just happened? What did you do? And I told him what happened. And I did such a good job that we ended up packing out our breakout session. We ended up selling like $30,000 worth of seminar seats in 1 hour.
Excellent.
From the pitch that I had done on stage. Mm-hmm. And he says, you know what, Devon, from here on out, you've got the microphone. Anytime we do an event, you've got the microphone. Anytime I do a seminar, you've got the microphone. And so from there I started just while working for him, I just initially came on as a salesman that was commission only. Okay. A commission-only salesperson to the MC of every event, and in doing that, I was ended up introducing a lot of the big names who were really big in the mid-2000s in this game, and getting to know them, and just getting to be behind the scenes, and so and getting to learn from the best of the best.
Wow! That's a really good way to break in and sort of submerge yourself around so many people of influence. Like, I always try to think of different ways to do that by going to different networking events, networking with the speakers, and so on and so forth. So Just to know that that's what you did, that's amazing. That's amazing. So let's go back now to when you first thought, you know, I need to actually start building a list of people that I can mail to and build a relationship. Mm-hmm. What, being that you had such excellent people around you, what was your first thing that you said? What's the first things that you did to get those first few thousand people on your list?
Well, two things. Number one, I first learned about list building back in 2002, 2003. A buddy of mine calls me up on the phone and he says, hey, Devon, I just got off the phone. We were trying to figure out how to build our network marketing company that I was involved in back then. And my buddy calls me up. He says, Devon, I just got off the phone with this guy who makes $1 million a year online. He gave me a great idea. He says we need to build an email list. And this is back in 2002. And I told my buddy, I said to him, dude, that is the stupidest idea I have ever heard of.
You really said that to him?
I swear to you, I said that to him. We'll go into the whole story some other time, but okay. I said to him, that is a stupid idea. I was like, I am not doing that nonsense.
Wow.
Let's go place postcards on the train. Like, and that's what we had planned on. I'm like, I'm not building a list. We're going to, you know, spam the local mass transit with postcards. That's what we're going to do instead of building a list. And that's what we did, and it didn't work. But and so then fast forward to 2005, my first meeting with my mentor after I get hired, he says to me, all right, let me explain to you how I make money online. And he goes over this entire thing about list building. And I'm like, whoa, hold on. You mean to tell me that that stupid idea that I heard about back in 2002 actually works? And he's like, yeah, this is pretty much the cornerstone of everything. And I'm pissed at myself. And I'm like, damn it, I just wasted 3 years of my life.
Wow.
What? Because I wouldn't listen to what somebody was trying to tell me. And so then finally, you know, I got the job with him. I got to work with him. I got to see what he was doing and stuff. And so then I, you know, in 2006, 2007, I finally broke out on my own.
Okay.
And to answer your question, I tell you all that to answer your question. The first thing that I did to get, you know, several hundred, if not a few thousand people on my list was leverage the relationship I had with my mentor. Now, if you've got a relationship with that, like that with somebody who's got a big list, then gravy, but most of us don't, right? Most of you just starting out have no, I'm not going to go and contact, you know, Devon Brown and just get him to mail for me. No, it doesn't work like that. But luckily we have, you know, I was doing that and I was doing, you know, a lot of pay-per-click at the time when it was a lot easier to do in the make money online niche. But, but you know, now we have things like SafeSwaps and Solo AdBuys, which are super fast. You can just pay somebody to mail for you. And that's basically the way I built my list initially, was just getting somebody else to mail for me.
Okay. So same thing. So you basically spent a lot of time building relationships with people and making them and obviously create, I guess, through that relationship, that person felt like, okay, I'm happy to mail for Devon because of what he's putting forward. Yeah, I can see this guy offers value and so on and so forth. So that's really cool. So from somebody, say, that doesn't have that type of influence already, they've got a couple of choices. They can potentially intern with some people of influence and build up a relationship where they could leverage that relationship later on down the line, or they could actually find people that have a decent sized list already, which is easy enough to do online, and buy a solo and get themselves the first people on the list. Would you say that if out of all the different things that you can do within internet marketing, building a list is one of the most important things, or would you say there's other?
No. Building a list is arguably the single most important thing. Building a list is arguably the, and I'll even go one step further. You hear some people say, it's not just about the list; it's about the relationship that you have with your list.
Of course, yes.
Right, and I didn't realize how true that was until. I started noticing and comparing what my list and what I was able to do with my list versus what people were able to do with lists 10 times bigger than me. I remember once I was talking to a buddy of mine, and this guy had a list. His list was literally 10 times bigger than mine.
Okay.
Literally 10 times bigger than mine. But he, whenever he emailed his list, he could send you, you would think that if I mail my list, right, and I get 100 clicks, right? And emails his, and his list is 10 times bigger than mine. He would email his list, and then he would have, you know, 1,000 people click on the link inside and go to the, right?
You'd kind of think that, yes, definitely.
You'd think that, but no,
my relationship.
Yeah, you know exactly where I'm going with this. My relationship with my list was such that even though his list was 10 times bigger, he only got twice as many people click on links as I did. So a 10 times bigger list only yielded twice as many clicks, which tells me that as far as the percentage of people who would respond to me positively, my percentage was way higher than his.
That sort of bleeds perfectly into a question that I've got here, and then it also makes me think, right, this guy, it's the truth, because how I first found out about you was through YouTube video, So my question is, how do you maintain a good relationship with the people on your list so that they trust you and want to sort of follow your recommendations and take action on your recommendations?
My single, it's funny you just mentioned it, my single most favoritest thing in the world to do, and I know that's not good English, is to do videos for my list. People don't want to people don't want to let me rephrase that. People want to follow somebody. People want a relationship with another human being. Uh-huh. My biggest recommendation to you is to, and to everybody listening, is, and I know a lot of times we're camera shy. I'm blessed to just naturally not be camera shy. But add as much content and value to their lives as possible. Add as much value and content to their lives as possible. So I like to actually just give good advice. I like to turn on the video camera and give good advice and put it on my blog. And then once or twice a week, I will email my list and just give them some good free advice. You don't have to opt in for anything. I'm not trying to sell you anything. I'm just giving you free advice, and I'm being real with you. I don't put on a suit and tie because that's not me. No. I don't sit there and try to overly watch my language because that's not – I don't cuss like every 30 seconds, but I'm very honest. I'm very real. If I mess up on the video camera, I keep it rolling. Why? Because I'm human. And if I come from a place – and if you come from a place of just looking to improve and have a positive impact on somebody's life, then – they're going to appreciate that, and that is going to make you stand out from the other people out there who are just looking for clicks and looking for dollars and looking for clicks and looking for dollars. I'm actually looking to say, because you're on my list, now your life is better. I have people say to me all the time, Devon, I've actually sat down and just watched 15 of your videos in one day. Hey, Devon, oh, wow. I look forward to when – yeah, it's like, Devon, I feel like I've known you for years. On my videos, There's a woman who runs in the Olympics in the hurdles. Her name is Lolo Jones.
Okay.
Right? I don't know if you're familiar with the name or not.
I can't remember properly, but okay.
Yeah, but if you get a chance, look her up. Her name is Lolo Jones. She's hot. She is stupid hot. And I got a big crush on her. So a couple of years ago, I emailed my list and I said, "Hey, list, I'm offering this $800 home study course for free to anybody who gets me a date with Lolo Jones." Right?
Tell me.
No, I ended up not getting a date with her, but I had like 300 people watch the video in the first 2 hours it was live, and then like they ended up spamming the heck out of her, and then her agent called me and was like, "What are you doing?" And anywho, the point is that now when I talk to people who are my clients or they're friends with me on – or my people on my list or they see me on Facebook, they email me all the time and they say – or they'll Facebook me all the time and they'll say, "Hey, Devon, did you know that Lolo Jones is going to be on TV?" Or, "Hey, did you ever get a date with her?" And then we have that kind of relationship that they're friends with me even though I have no clue who they are. Mm-hmm. They feel like they've known me for years and they'll email me and say, "Hey, Devon, found a new picture of Lolo I wanted to share with you," because they know I have a crush on her.
That's amazing. That's amazing. That's really cool. And I like the example. The example really sort of shows the different ways and different points that you can build a relationship with your list. And that's really important there. And also then if I look back on myself, like I think that, for example, I've done some other interviews as well. And it seems like a recurring theme that people are saying, do as much as you can. Like, don't just send out emails. Like hold like maybe one-on-one Skype calls and things like that, or do like a weekly webinar or a monthly webinar where you interact with your list. As you say, do video. And if you're scared to sort of show your head and so on and so forth, just use your voice and put some PowerPoint slides up. Don't make excuses. Make it happen. So I definitely see where you're coming from. And it's like, it gives me a bit more of a kick up my ass because I think to myself, wow, I need to get more involved as well. Like, I've spent a lot of time creating like a very in-depth follow-up sequence where I explain a lot about myself and so on and so forth, but I need to hit people with different points of content, different media, like the video, webinars, maybe even tele summits, like where I get a whole lot of different people together and we hold a big event, because it's only going to raise your profile with your list.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's
In one quick recommendation, if you guys get a chance, read the book called The Go-Giver, G-O-G-I-V-E-R, two words.
The Go-Giver, okay.
The Go-Giver. It's a book that talks about the law of reciprocity. And the law of reciprocity just, you know, it has to do with how much value you give to others. I'll tell you real quick, the people who I have mailed for in the past are the people who have added the most value to my lives. You know, like we were talking about earlier with my mentor, you know, and the people who I was getting to know when I first got into the industry. You know, I added value to their lives, and that's why they were willing to reciprocate for me or mail for me. You know, this is one of those things that with your list, you know, if you want to have a responsive list, if you want to have a list that loves you, add genuine value to their lives. Add real content. Don't be scared to give away some of your best information, you know, and hold on to it. Be like, no, I've got to sell this. No, just give. Mm-hmm. Give, and you'll be surprised what you get back.
Oh, wow, that's really good stuff there. So, because, like, I want to keep the main focus on, like, list building, because I think it's so important and it's made such a difference to my life. I get caught up in so many different things in relation to my list building, like things like is the subject line, the body content, so on and so forth. When it comes to, okay, let's start. Let's first of all start with the first point of contact for somebody that will join your list, the squeeze page.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say are the key elements to having an effective squeeze page, like maybe three key elements to having an effective squeeze page?
Number one is that you've got to be specific.
Okay.
The more specific you are, the more people try to say, when I ask people, I say, well, what's your niche, right? And they say, oh, my niche, you know, or who are you targeting? Mm. I'm targeting everybody. This niche can help everybody. No, it can't. Mm-hmm. No, that's a stupid idea. Don't do that. I understand you're trying to be the Walmart of the internet, but don't. So the first thing I will tell you is that you need to be ultra specific with regard to who you are targeting. Okay. What I have found is that the highest converting squeeze pages I have are squeeze pages that are for something very, very specific. I'll give you an example. I could put up a squeeze page that says, discover how I made, you know, $2,800 in one day on the internet, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or I could do something even more targeted where I only target, you know, maybe people who use WordPress. And I could say, discover the one simple plugin that I used that took 4 minutes to install that added an extra $56.46 a day to my bank account by just plugging it into my WordPress.
That is very specific, yes.
Right. So the people who use WordPress, who know what a WordPress plugin is, they're going to eat that up.
Straight away, yeah, definitely.
Right. Mm-hmm. So much more targeted and so much more willing to respond. Instead of saying, here's how to lose weight, right?
Mm-hmm.
We say the number one or the Hollywood secret every bride-to-be must know that will allow you to lose 10 to 15 pounds before your wedding day.
Ah, look at that. That's lovely. You've been doing this for a long time. I can tell.
I've been doing this for a little while, yeah.
So. Just blowing those beautiful headlines out. Like, it takes me forever. Like, I'm so critical and of myself as I'm trying to work out, as I'm trying to work these things out. But one thing I also do is, because I've got an email where I've signed up to lots of people's emails list, I use the swipes. Like, I use the different – I modify subject lines that I feel compelled to open.
Mm-hmm.
Because I find that's – because obviously if I felt compelled to open it, there must have been something in the way that person writ it that is going to work with the majority of people. So that's pretty cool as well. But, yeah, so being specific is number one then.
That's number one. Be ultra specific. And then number two, you know, generally speaking, the rule of thumb is for your landing page, for your squeeze page, for your opt-in page, keep everything above the fold of the page, at least initially.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so, and if you don't know what the fold is, for everybody listening, the fold is anything below the bottom of your screen. So ideally, everything will be within the screen and the person will not have to scroll down. As a general rule of thumb, you will hear different points of view on that, but as a general rule of thumb, keep it above the fold. That headline is specific and is the most powerful thing that you should be able to sell me on whether or not I want to opt in 15 to 30 words.
Okay. Okay.
Right.
Video or no video on that squeeze page?
You know what? I've seen different results from it. Okay. I personally love video, but when I test it, sometimes it tests better, sometimes it tests worse. So I don't have a definitive answer. So yeah, okay. I will tell you the answer is to test. I have squeeze pages that have video, but I love being on video. And sometimes I love being on video so much that somebody might say to me, but Devon, this kind of video will work better than you talking. And I'll be like, I don't care. I just want to talk on a video. Mm-hmm. Test it. I like video personally, but test it.
Okay, that's good. So when it comes to, like, the actual messages that you send out once somebody is on your list, Is there like a rule of thumb, like in regards to how you construct your content, short copy versus long copy? Is there one that's the best, or what's your
So
thoughts on that?
the one of the things that my mentor used to say all the time was, you want to train people to click.
Okay.
When they open your message, you want to train them to click.
Okay.
So when you're sending an email to them, the goal is to get them to click. Now, there are different schools of thought on this, but here's the basic premise that I've adopted. I normally do short copy inside of the email, and then take them to whatever it is I want to take them to. So I email my list primarily for two different reasons. It's maybe three, but the number one reason I will email my list is to send them content, right?
Okay. Uh-huh.
The second reason I'll email my list is to sell them something,
Okay.
right? And then like the third reason, like if I'm doing like a swap with somebody or something like that, but you know, we'll fall that under the, we'll put that under the umbrella of sell them something for the sake
Okay.
of oversimplification.
Yep.
So either way, I want them to click. And so what I do, what a lot of people like to do is they like to put the copy inside of the email. Like, let's say I want to email you content, right? Let's say I want to give you a piece of advice on writing headlines, right? So
Yeah.
like, you know, use this secret to, so the headline of the email might be, you know, secret for increasing open rates or whatever. Some people will put the text inside of the email, and that's all well and good, right? That's
Okay.
fine. What
Yeah.
I like to do, though, is I like to keep it short and sweet, and then when they click on the link, I'll take them to my blog.
Okay. Yep.
And that way, they're on my site, and they're getting used to seeing my face. I'll put a video, personally, I'll put a video up where I'm delivering the content via video, and then I'll have it written as well underneath the video. Excuse me. Sometimes. So,
Oh, that's
what,
cool.
yeah, and so we'll,
And
go
that
ahead.
gives you the opportunity to be able to get people to comment, which gives
Right.
social proof, which I think Google are
Exactly.
looking into now, plus Google Plus and you, Facebook liking your page and things like that. So you're creating, yeah, I see what you mean there. Okay.
Right. And they see my smiling face all the time. And also, you never know, they might click on one of the banner ads on the right-hand side of my blog. That makes me some money, right?
Course,
They
yes,
might
definitely.
scroll down to the bottom of the page and notice that, you know, these are Devon's most popular blog posts. And they might click on one or two or three others, go watch, spend 30 minutes on my site watching videos, and now they've got a phenomenal relationship with me that they wouldn't have had otherwise had I just given them text to read inside of an email.
Of course, yeah. I'm really sort of getting the point of this. The more and more as I talk to people, it's the relationship is so key,
Yeah.
so key, and the way that you sort of go about getting that relationship. So, I read and I buy training myself all of the time. Like I'm an avid fan of AppSumo. I'm always buying different products from there. And one thing I noticed is that people always talk about segmenting your list, and it seems like I've got into it. It's quite a long process, but what's your thoughts on segmenting your list into different groups based on your users' actions, and why? Why is it important to you if you do it?
I don't do it as well as I should, but if I was starting from scratch, and anybody that is starting from scratch, it's something that you should absolutely do.
Okay.
There is a difference between somebody who is just a freebie seeker on your list versus somebody who is a buyer.
Course,
Okay?
yeah.
And so the simplest way, if you're not familiar with list segmentation, an oversimplified explanation of them or of it is simply, and I'll grossly oversimplify this. When
Okay.
somebody opts into your list for a free report or to register for a webinar or whatever it is you did to get them to opt in, right? To learn the Hollywood secret of weight loss for brides-to-be, right? When somebody initially opts in, then they go on list number one, right? They go on, you know, email list number one, people who opted in for my free report. After they opt in for your free report, you might offer to sell them something like, well, hey, I'm going to give you the seven secrets, but if you want to really know how to, you know, supercharge your weight loss, then, you know, get this video for only $7, or get this ebook for $7, or for $50, or whatever, right? The people who buy that, we'll put them on a different list. We'll take them off of the first list and put them onto a buyer's list. So you
Okay.
have a list of opt-ins and a list of buyers. And we see this a lot in the internet marketing, the make money online space. And it's important because what you want to do is when you have that buyer's list, we don't email them as that buyer's list is invaluable. You may have an opt-in list of 100 and a buyer's list of 10. That buyer's list of 10 people is infinitely more valuable than that opt-in, just straight up opt-in list of 100 where the people haven't bought anything. So you're going to treat them a little bit more with kid gloves. You might give them more content. You might say, hey, Mark here, and just because, for everybody, this is a special message only going out to people who bought my ebook on XYZ. Just as another thank you for buying my ebook, I've recorded a free video for you and this free bonus and yada, yada, yada. And you can do that with, and then that'll make them, that will endear them to you more.
That makes a lot of sense.
Right, and then when it comes to just mailing free offers and stuff like that and doing email swaps and stuff, then we just email the people who have opted in and haven't bought anything.
Yes, no, that makes a lot of sense. I've got a question here. I don't know how you're going to feel about answering it, but
okay.
As you've been going through your career and so on and so forth, I'd love for you to just be really open with this one. What would you say your biggest mistakes or errors have been while not just while building your list, but also just in business in general, and what you could help people maybe to avoid?
That would be an hour long conversation in and of itself. I mess up all the time. I mess up even today. So I'll try to shortcut it. So number one, or I'll give you the Reader's Digest version. Number one thing I did wrong was I didn't seek help from people who had already done it. Remember I told you I got that phone call where somebody was telling me in 2002, hey, you need to build a list. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't care if this guy has $1 million or not. I'm not listening to him because I'm the smartest person in the world. My first thing I did wrong was I didn't seek help from people who had already done it.
Okay.
And B, I didn't seek out a mentor. When I answered that job ad in the newspaper on Craigslist that ended up having me meet my mentor, I wasn't seeking a mentor. I was seeking a job.
Yes.
And I lucked out. And so I didn't seek a mentor. But even with all of my students, the students of mine who do the best, who have had the most success, are the ones who get to work with me on a more personal level. So having a mentor really accelerates your success, and seeking out a mentor really accelerates your success. Another thing I'll tell you guys to do, I'll ask it to you this way. Do you know how to tie your shoes?
Of course.
Okay, pretty easy to do.
Like yes, second no? nature.
Second nature. You could do it with your eyes closed.
Pretty much.
How many feet do you have?
Two.
Two. So yeah. How many shoes do you have?
Lots.
No, I mean,
two shoes to go on my feet, yeah.
Left and right. And tying them is pretty easy, right?
Very much so, yes.
Okay, can you tie them both at the same time?
That's probably not.
No.
Yeah.
It's physically impossible for you to tie them both at the same
time. I've never tried. I would give it a go.
Give it a shot. See how well you do.
I think that'd be pretty hard. I need both my hands to tie one.
Right. So this is the other problem is that I'm as guilty. I used to be as guilty as anybody else. Was that we get involved in too many different things online. We don't just take one person and commit to following their program or their system, right?
That was an amazing example you just
Thank
did.
You.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's a Devon original. I actually came up with that myself when I was doing my one-on-one calls with people when I was working for my mentor. I did somewhere in the neighborhood of 2,500 one-on-one calls with people.
Wow.
Over the course of like a couple of years. And that's an example that I came up with, but it is so powerful because it's true. So one of the biggest mistakes I made was I would say things like, all right, I'm going to get this person's program, and then I'm going to mix it with this person's program, and then I'm going to have this other third stream of income on the side. No, that's stupid. It doesn't work like that. Mm-hmm. The way it works is that you get involved with one thing, you commit to that one thing, and you see it through until it is making you the kind of money, and it's one of the hardest things in the world to not get pulled in 18 million different directions. But it's something that you're going to have to do if you ever want to make money in this game. And if you ever want to find success in this game, you're going to have to get focused. But I don't want to miss out on everything else. Trust me, you are going to miss out on everything if you don't get focused.
That's so true, and I'm a perfect example of that because I've been in internet marketing dabbling for at least 10 years, and it's not till the last 2 years that we made things happen, and it was purely because my back was against the wall. I got made redundant from my job, and I just had to make it happen. So,
right.
But yeah, other times it was never like I had to. So I had a really good paying job, but so I was just dabbling here and there. So focus is so important. Oh, wow.
And I promise you guys, you're going to feel like, because we get, most of us get emails from 800 people a day. We're like, oh, look at this. This is the next greatest thing. Let me tell you a secret. The next big thing will always be there.
Of course.
It's not going anywhere. If you turn off your computer for a month, you're going to miss out on 100 the next big things. And then when you turn on your computer back, the next big thing will be there. I promise you.
Of course.
Something new is always going to come. Mm-hmm. You've got to have the discipline and the willingness to say, you know what? I committed to this. I invested in this program with this mentor. I'm going to follow this and see this through. That is the end of story.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. So, is there, like, as you're building your list, as you're, like, communicating with your list, is there any sort of particular schedule that you use in regards to your message? Like, how often do you message your list? Do you message them more than once in a day? Do you mix up your sending schedule, like, with free content versus paid content? Is there a strategy to it, or is it just as it flows?
It's more as it, I mean, I'm sure there should be a strategy to it, but it's more, for me, it's more as it flows. I like to give a good mixture of content and sales, because make no mistake about it, I'm in this business to make money, right?
Yep.
Okay. And in order to make money, I have to sell stuff. And in order to sell stuff, I have to email my list and say, hey, go buy this. And there's nothing wrong with that. As long as I think that the stuff has value, right, then good. So I mix it up. I don't have a set time that I mail them every day. I don't have set days that I mail them. I just mail them at least – my rule is that I mail you at least 4 times a week, and that at least 1/3 of what I mail you needs to be pure content.
Okay.
Those are my 2 rules. Other than that, whatever. I can mail you at midnight. I might mail it – what I'll do is, as far as do I mail twice in one day, I might hit all of my unsubscribes. And so for those of you guys who aren't familiar with what I mean by that, you can send out an email at 7 o'clock in the morning, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, not unsubscribes, unopens.
Unopens, yeah.
Unopens. So you can email out at 7 o'clock in the morning, right? Let's say, for the sake of easy math, you have 1,000 people on your list, and you have 100 people open up the email and read it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's 900 people that didn't open the email. Mm-hmm. Well, you can go into your autoresponder and send pretty much the exact same message out to only the 900 who didn't open it.
Yeah.
And I'll do that more times. I'll sometimes do that twice in a day, but not often do I email my list twice. I know some guys who will email their lists 4 times in a day, and they'll swear by it.
Yeah, and I've seen people doing that as well. And
right.
And do you worry about people unsubscribing, or you just know that that's part of?
Yes,
part of
no. I think that, yeah, okay. If you play football or American football, right? Not soccer. Not you guys. My football, not yours.
Okay.
If you play or if you play rugby, all right.
Yeah.
Okay. Or American football, you're going to get hit, right?
Of course.
You just are. That's part of playing the game. Yes.
No doubt.
Okay, so when you grow an email list, people are going to unsubscribe. It just is what it is.
Okay.
I don't worry about it. As long as I'm not, you know, the only problem I would really have with it is, like, one time I sent out an email to my list. Somebody wanted me to use some particular ad copy, and the ad copy had one of those subject lines. It was like, congratulations, your order is complete, right?
Yeah.
Or hey, PayPal deposited money into your bank account or whatever, right? Which
cancellation and stuff like that. So
I had a lot of people. This was like 3 or 4 years ago, and I got an amazing open rate, and I got an amazing number of people click through. Right, we made money off of the deal, but I had so many people get mad at me, and here's why they got mad. They got mad because I had trained my list to expect a certain level of quality from me, and to have a certain level of expectation from me. And when I did that, I took advantage of their trust, and they said, Devon, we expect more from you.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because I had that. They said, Devon, we get emails like that all the time. We don't know who we get them from, and we don't care. But from you, we expect more from you because we actually like you and have a relationship with you.
Okay, so your list held you to a higher standard then.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh. But that should tell you about the relationship that I have with them.
Right.
For them to actually email me back and say, Devon, we expect more, which is good. That means I've got a good relationship with them, and that means I need to make sure that I treat my relationship with them the way that it needs to be. You know, I needed to have more respect for them. So either I'm going to build this thing as what we call a churn and burn, where it's I'm going to get you on my list, I'm going to blast you out as many offers as I can, make as much money as I can, as quickly as I can, and then if you unsubscribe, you unsubscribe. Or I'm going to build this thing where I get you on my list, and then I nurture a relationship with you. And yeah, I'm going to make money with you, but I'm going to nurture a relationship with you.
The other one sounds very sort of short-term and not the mindset doesn't sound like an abundance mindset and for longevity. So I
Correct.
just burn and churn sort of thing.
Right.
But at the same time, I don't know, I see a lot of people still being able to maintain by doing that. But that's neither here nor there. But also, in regards to like the list itself and understanding your list better and what they want from you and things like that, do you do things like you survey them and to better understand their needs? And
Yes, I'll tell you a secret. I'm not very technical, right?
okay, yep.
I have dozens of websites on the internet, and I don't know how any of them got up there. I'm not like it, I came out with a WordPress plugin back in 2010. It went super viral. It was called WP Lap Dance. It was super awesome.
I love
Thank you. Yeah,
that.
it was like the best. I was
I
ranked.
just love the brashness of the
I was ranked, and it wasn't, and it wasn't, and somebody said, "Devon, is that an? Are you attempting to you know?" To shake up the marketplace or to do shock marketing, I'm like, no, I just wanted to call the damn thing WP Lap Dance. So, because I thought that was a cool name. And so when I came out with that, that was wait, what's the question? I forgot the question. There was a point in me.
Surveying the
Oh,
list
surveying my list,
and your
surveying my
list,
list.
yeah.
So I say that to say that I've come out with this stuff, and it's not even I've come out with these things, and I make money online, and I'm not super technical. So even with regard to surveying my list, I don't do it in a technical manner. A lot of people say, "Well, Devon, I made a survey monkey, and I surveyed my list as to what they want." Right? The way I survey my list is I'll put up a blog post,
Okay.
right, and I'll make a video and say, "Hey guys, Devon here. All right, here's what I want you to do." What is your number one most burning question? Where is your biggest sticking point? What are you frustrated about online? Leave a comment below. I'm going to pick your question out once a week, and then I'll answer it in front of everybody.
That's so cool.
That's all. And then I'll get dozens of comments, right? And then that'll like provide me what it is I'm going to make videos about to my list,
Oh, wow. That's
for the
so
next,
cool.
2 months, and then I'll do or 3 months, and then I'll do it again like 3 months later.
That's so much better than writing some sort of dry, dead survey and having them
Right.
answer it and then look at all the bar charts and things like that and think,
Exactly.
how do I now go back to them?
I mean, I'm not saying that they're doing the bar charts and being technical is, I don't think that being technical is a bad thing. Obviously, we're making our money on the internet. My
Course.
thing is that there needs to be some human touch here. And so when we look at things strictly from an analytical perspective, like I'm going to make a chart or I'm going to make a survey and then I'm going to get the graphs to answer the chart and I'm going to look at my metrics on the survey, that's okay to a certain extent, but there is an X factor that is associated with just being human. So me getting on a video with my white t-shirt and my hat on backwards and me saying to my list, "Hey, I want you to succeed. Tell me where you suck so that I can help you." Them saying, they'll say, "You know what? I can sense and feel that he really means that." And then when I take a question, even if it's not the question you submitted, even if I go through my blog and see all the comments and then grab one out and I say, "Hey guys, this week's question comes from, Sam in New York, and Sam asks, yada yada yada," they can actually go back and say, "Hey, this really was the question that Sam committed. It's your Sam submitted. It's right above mine, Devon didn't pick mine, but I can tell that he really cares."
No, that's very true. That's very true.
So
Wow, you've given some amazing value over this almost an hour now. Like, and obviously, I want to be respectful of your time because
yeah, we're
I know
good.
you.
We're
I know
good.
you've got a lot of things to do. But wow, this has been really cool. And what I'm really sort of starting to find is there's a lot of recurring themes with different people that I talk to. That's what's important. So it's like everybody gets confused as what do I do to make money online? What do I do? And so on and so forth. But it's a small number of things you've
Yes.
got to do
Yes.
consistently. Yeah. And so that's why I'm really sort of getting that feel. And even myself, like I make good money online, but like I miss, there's those little things that I miss as well. And then when talking with yourself and talking with other people, I start to realize that it's just this, all I have to do is say to myself, okay, let me make a list of the things that I'm missing and just start to slowly integrate them or quickly integrate them, whatever way works sort of thing. So, wow, thank you so much for sort of
No,
just coming on and doing this
yeah,
for
no,
me.
and I'll say real quickly, if you guys make it more difficult than this, then you're going to fail. Number one, pick a niche market, not multiple. Pick a niche market, right? And be specific with your niche, right? B, throw up a squeeze page that offers something ultra specific, right? So, I use the WordPress example, right? Secret plugin, yada yada yada. allow me to make money with WordPress, right? Okay. B, get some traffic to your site. Mm-hmm. And the way that you can do it really easily is just by paying for a solo ad. You don't even have to think about it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So pay for a solo ad. Get some traffic to the site. A certain percentage of those people will opt in. But Devon, don't I need to chest and track and split different variables and all this stuff later?
No, not
I
yet.
Mean, yeah, get to that crap later. Do you know that I had a list of God knows how many thousands of people before I even threw up my first split test? Stop getting buried in the minutia and these intricacies and just start doing the damn thing. Throw up a squeeze page. If it stinks, we'll find out that it stinks. And yeah, then we'll go from there. But just do the action. And so you picked your niche. You were specific with it. You cleared off all other distractions. You got focused on this one thing. You threw up a squeeze page. But Devon, how many follow-up messages should I have? Who gives a rat's butt? Just throw up the squeeze page. Get started. Do it. Then you bought some traffic. You bought a solo ad to it. Now you got a little bit of traffic. Now you had some people opt into your list, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now you got some people opt into your list. Give them a mixture of content and sales. But Devon, how long should my videos be when I email my list to my blog and try to give them content? Who the hell knows? Just make them as long as you feel like making them, and as long as it takes to deliver your message. But Devon, I'm not an expert. I don't feel comfortable giving advice as an expert. Well, then don't give advice as an expert. Tell them about something that you failed at that humanizes you, or introduce them to somebody who you know has good content. Do one of 18 million other things. Just do something.
Or even talk about your journey. So
right.
Today I've been studying such and such a person. There's a link to him down there. He told me that I should be doing this. I tried it. I got this amount of people onto my list. Here's my results, guys. I was able to get sales from. But yeah, really, I really see where you're coming from with that, and I can see that it doesn't matter if you're just starting out. You can just talk about your journey and you coming up,
right,
and what you're doing, and that's interesting to people. People love to.
Living vicariously
for other people.
Exactly.
So people love that. That's why these reality shows are so big nowadays.
Right. And the biggest thing is, if you do that, you are being real. You are being authentic. Uh-huh. But Devon, I don't like the way I look on camera. Nobody does except for me.
You're funny.
The fact that you are a little insecure makes you human. You know, if you're really not that comfortable, then do a PowerPoint video with a little picture of yourself at the bottom with your little, you know, super sexy photo at the bottom. The important thing is to do it and to come from a place of giving and to treat your list like they are human beings, not like they are a commodity for you to make money with.
Yeah, no doubt. That makes a lot of sense. So Devon, how do the people, my viewers and people that are going to be seeing this interview, how do they get in touch with you? How do they... Not necessarily get in touch with you, but how do they get to follow you? What are you doing at the moment that you feel that that's going to be of value to these guys? Because I only have people on that I feel that are going to add value. So I'd just love for you just to tell everybody what sort of stuff you're doing and what sort of stuff you want them to be involved in. And what I'll do as well is after I'll get some links off you, and when I put it up on the page, I'll put those links underneath the interview as well.
I appreciate that. So two things. Number one, if you just want more information on me and you want to follow me and you want to see about these videos that I keep talking about, just go to renegadesuccess.com/blog. That's RENEGADE, success, SUCCESS, .com/blog, renegadesuccess.com/blog, and you'll see all my videos there. And in the upper right-hand corner, you can opt in. Every time I get a new video, I'll let you know about it. And then the other thing I will say is you can check out a website called TheEasiestSystemEver.com. TheEasiestSystemEver, TheEasiestSystemEver.com. That'll show you how we've got I just launched not too long ago a program that where we're actually all this list building stuff, like we help take care of it for you, and we actually go one step further. We actually close sales for you. And so we show you how to build your list. Some people are building their list within the first 72 hours. And then people who hop on your list, if they're interested in buying something at a bigger or a higher ticket, we actually call them for you. We close them for you. And then we send you commission checks.
Wow. Man, that sounds really good. Like, I would definitely say to take advantage. Like, if you guys are able to take advantage of what Devon's putting forward, definitely go ahead and do that, because Devon's the real deal, man. And And he shows proof. If you go and look online, have a search for this guy, you'll see him online. You'll see him just dropping so much valuable content for you guys. So and a lot of what he drops is for free. And so definitely just take action, make it happen. One thing I always say is it doesn't matter how smart you are, you can't do anything. You're not going to get any results by not taking action. So you can be as smart as you like by listening to this and thinking, oh, wow, that was really interesting. Like, yes, I'll segment my list and do this and do that, and then go and listen to something else and not actually take no action. Like, action is the key here, guys. And so take action. And I'd just like to, again, thank Devon. Devon. All through the interview, I've been Devon. So I'd like to thank Devon again for coming on. It's been amazing. I've learned so much myself, and I love that, and that's just amazing. I just love learning anyway. And guys, this is Mark Sams, and we're gonna finish up for today. Until the next interview, you take care, and we'll speak to you soon.
All right, thank you so much.
No worries. I'm on your list. I know a bit about you, but just for the viewers.